Good morning, everyone. This is Julie Fedorchak, the chair of the Public Service Commission. We're gathered on the 12th floor of the state capitol for a work session on some rulemaking for the standards of service for the electric regulated electric companies. I don't have any opening comments.
Nor do I. Thanks.
Mr. Cautious?
No comments.
All right. Then I will turn it over to staff, and maybe you can start by going through kind of the timeline of what we're trying to accomplish here, and then explain the stuff that you sent out.
Sure. Timeline really is we need to have these submitted down to the AG's office by November 1st so that we can get them on in time to make it through the process, so we meet our deadline that comes with the fact that this is legislatively mandated. So yesterday I sent out a draft order and also revised rules based on the comments. We did get comments, most of them. It was just kind of a recap and an echo of what was testified to when we had the hearing. So based on the comments, we started looking at making some changes. The first change that was made was from April 1st to May 1st. That was a pretty consistent request throughout the comments. It seemed like a pretty easy change to make, and it didn't.
Can you tell us what are you on?
That shows up in a couple different places. It shows up in the proposed or the revised rules in paragraphs 5 and 6. The report date of April.
This one. Or the order.
Nope, that one. I don't.
Okay.
The
we're
order,
not going through the order right
no,
now.
No, we're not really going through the order. If there's any changes you guys see in there that you want to make, happy to make them.
Perfect.
But it's pretty straightforward.
Do you have an extra copy of that? I thought I brought it with.
The order? Yeah. I don't.
No, what you sent out yesterday.
Oh, the...
This one?
Yeah.
I've only had this one copy.
Well...
Do you want me to go make a copy of this?
Okay, I'm good. Thank you. Thought I had it with.
So, other than the date, the next thing that we looked at changing was going through what the company said they're able to gather and report. And so paragraph 6, we removed the indices that were problematic for them, and it leaves us with Safey, Sadie, and Katie, which everybody said they could. And then it also leaves in the med days, which is, I think, very important to this and what really gives us the whole picture. And that's kind of what we're looking at here is instead of just reporting on outages and different things, we're looking for really the whole picture so we can look at when an event happens, why it happened, and have all the relevant information. Paragraph 7, we started contemplating if we wanted additional indices, we could request them. The point of that was really to kind of try to avoid future rulemaking, if at all possible. Looking at it and thinking about it over yesterday afternoon and last night, I think I'd probably just end up taking out paragraph 7. If there was anything that we ever wanted, we have the ability to request that of the company and have a discussion of whether or not that's something that's feasible for them to extrapolate from their data, and we could go from there. I guess if not, we'd be basing our decision on whether or not they failed to meet the reliability standard on just less information.
And so the reason why do you want to take that out? I guess I would leave it. My instinct would be to keep a general line in there, but take out all the specifics, like upon the request, the commission, or not even upon. The commission can request other reliability statistics from the electric public utility as deemed necessary or something like that. And is there a way to phrase it so that it's suggests the kind of collaborative approach back and forth, but it keeps the door open for us asking for more?
I don't think
it's necessary.
I think we have that ability without putting it in there. My concern with leaving it in there is if we're stating we may request this data from you, then the, well, we need to update our system and spend a bunch of money and hire 15 FTEs to pencil out the information. Even with, when it's just a possibility to request it, I think that's something that they would say we need to spend a bunch of money to upgrade because we might have to answer to these questions.
I'm not following.
So one of the big concerns, especially I think it was from MDU, was the cost of what they would have to implement for software to gather and sort out the data, and then the FTEs that it would take to compile and report on it. I thought it was an extremely large number. I mean, I get software and costs and stuff like that, but 15 full-time employees just to report on reliability standards, I'm not sure how that really is realistic. But basically, just to avoid causing anything that would create a need for them to basically spend money and pass on to the ratepayers. That's kind of why we removed a lot of those and why I think paragraph 7 might not be such a great idea to keep in there.
Okay, the ones that are in here are things that they've all said they already have.
Yep. The ones that we left in there was ones that everybody already collects and reports and I think gives a pretty fair picture of what's going on. I mean, I guess, you know, the more data we would get, the more clear picture we would have. But I think based on that and, you know, if something was really wrong or didn't look right, we have the authority to request additional information from the company on it anyway.
So you're proposing to pull 7?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. And then
just a minute, Brian.
Oh, yeah.
I probably should have always recognized that Victor's testimony would end up being important, but I didn't keep a copy of it. But when we had the initial hearing, didn't you have this list of these indices and that are recommended or required by some organization? I thought you.
Sure.
Based that original list on someone's requirement. Who was that?
So there, the initial list started out. So these three indices that were recommended we keep in there, those are reported, and I found those through EIA. And I wasn't sure if it was a separate EIA reporting or if it was on a FERC form filing. And it probably was a FERC form filing. The additional indices that we recommended, a lot of them, if you have the base data for those three, you can probably calculate most of them. But we just weren't quite sure at that time where the commission wanted to go with this someday, and that's why we threw in all of those indices. So those indices all come from the IEEE standards.
But utility companies aren't required to meet the IEEE standards?
They're not required to report on all of those different standards.
Those
different
are just
metrics.
Different things that you may or may not report.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Thanks.
So a thought that I had last week and shared with Jack after our meeting with MRO, the Midwest Reliability Organization, on their risk assessments and stuff. So they perform audits of the utilities and find, you know, I don't know if I assumed it's annual, but I don't, they never really said if it's annual or if they're spot audits or exactly what they do. But these audits show if there's been any issues. And we don't, on, you know, as a standard part of the procedure, get copies of those. I've never heard the companies reference them, but they seem to kind of like be applicable to this area. So I suppose it's too late to include that list because wasn't included in our draft, and then they haven't had a chance to comment. But I do think that's a worthwhile conversation having because there are audits on how they're performing on the reliability standards set by NERC.
You know, if they are being audited, again, I think we would have the ability to request that if and when there was a problem and we were looking into it, and we could ask them if they have had a recent audit or what their last audit said and have them provide that to us, even if it wasn't in the rule. And I think that probably would be very valuable data.
I mean, it's certainly part of the equation. I mean, obviously, I think the ones that we've got here provide the most direct summary of impacts to customers. But the other stuff might provide a picture into other things.
How is MRO funded? Again, I asked and he indicated, but I don't remember the answer, to be honest. Is it through the utilities?
Forget to. It's funded. Well, it's part of NERC.
Before, I know it's I think a task force that NERC has out there.
It's not a task force. It's a permanent organization that.
It seems like a task force to me for what they're doing. That's my opinion.
Well, that's fine. It's an organization that assesses the companies on their standards, on the NERC standards, so they do the audit.
Before I jump on an MRO, I'd want to know that. Clarify the funding mechanism, and I think it is too late for this anyway, but
I thought I remembered for a moment there that they said something like is assessed on the utilities based on the load on their portion of the load in the region.
I think that sounds right, Pat.
And I think it is a good idea. Should have had it earlier.
Yeah.
If it's not a conflict on the funding mechanism side, which it feels like it could be.
Do you mean that it's an arm of the utilities?
Just how they're funded. And if it's funded through the utilities to measure the utilities.
I think it depends on whether it's an organization of the utilities that they choose to fund or whether it's something that happens to them and they just are assessed. And I think that the second one is the case here. And so I don't think it's a situation where they have a conflict on it and are creating misleading information or anything like that.
And
I think it would be good information to have.
And I'll re-clarify calling it a task force. It's a working group.
From my understanding of that conversation and previous, they are the enforcement arm for the NERC reliability standards. And NERC is a federal agency under FERC that sets kind of the baseline reliability standards. Is that your understanding, Victor, of what these MRO and those, there's a few other of those regional entities that enforce the reliability standards?
That's how I would classify it. NERC sets the standards. Groups like MRO measure and potentially enforce those standards.
But right now it's a moot point anyway, correct? Just wanted to think about it for the future.
Yeah, and like I said, even if we didn't have it in the rules, we know it exists, and if we're looking into an incident or questioning reliability, knowing that it's out there, the commission can definitely request that they provide it to us.
Mm-hmm. And I have no baseline. Maybe, like, any audit findings are super unusual, and all the utilities just, you know, have super clean audits every time. It might very well be the case that the standards are just kind of like commonplace things that our utilities regularly meet.
True.
But I have no idea of knowing whether they are or aren't meeting those NERC standards. So.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, it's always nice to avoid future rulemaking, but this might be one that, as we get into it in the future, we may have to tweak a little bit, and nothing says that, you know, next time we do rulemaking on something else that we can't put this in as well. We don't have to do a, you know, it can
sure.
do more than one. Because, I mean, the cost for publication is a little spendy. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the things we'd kind of were trying to avoid by taking out too much that we might want in later. But, you know, I don't know that there's a way to avoid that.
Well, at any rate, I don't think we can add it at this point. I think that would threaten the
timeline.
Main part here.
Yeah. Yeah, and it would be nice to, I guess, maybe sometime in the future, chat with some of the companies and, mm-hmm. and see what they have, and maybe they have one they can provide us so we can see
sure.
what it looks like and what's in there.
I think that'd be great. Maybe even add an agenda item for a PI meeting or something. Just to start the conversation so we can better understand what the report, the sure. audits are and how often they have them and that sort of thing.
Yep. The last thing from the comments was the penalty provision and language there. I know that there was comments that it was kind of vague and doesn't give a whole lot of clarity, and the request to take med days out for something that could be used in determining whether or not there should be, you know, disallowances, fines, or penalties. I guess I didn't make any changes to that provision. I think it's okay the way it is. I would definitely not support taking out med days. I think when we're looking at that, everything is important. Med days are extremely important. Victor had even talked about there was a med day from a company that was from pole fires. Maybe I'll let Victor.
Yeah, so we had... You know, some of these metrics came into play with NSP a number of years ago, whereby if they met a particular goal, they got a mm-hmm. bonus, essentially.
Yeah.
And the med days were excluded from those calculations, but the agreement that specified this potential bonus said that both parties agree to review the appropriateness of the med days. And one of the issues that led to that reliability standard was pole fires. And one of the med days in the particular year that they
yeah.
wanted to get this bonus was caused by a pole fire. So in that instance, I mean, it was the exact issue we were trying to solve, causing something that would essentially let them get a bonus for
yeah.
what someone could make an argument was a, you know, lack of proper action to prevent such things. But in any case, it's just one example. We have no idea what may or may not come of any particular med day, so it may be something preventable, but that it certainly wouldn't necessarily be.
Mm-hmm. In that instance with Excel and that program, if I remember correctly, Victor, that was one example of a med day that we disallowed, but there are other med days that we allowed.
Yes.
And took out of that calculation
yep.
for the reliability. Right?
Yep, and that's
yeah.
kind of the idea of med days. You know, most of the med days are from like storm type of things where
mm-hmm.
it's a big storm that comes through that, you know, there's really nothing you can do to stop the system from having issues because of it and therefore not penalizing the utility as a result of it.
Yeah.
But they can be caused by anything. The med day qualifier doesn't really care what caused the outage. It's just the fact that it caused a large enough outage to qualify as a med day.
So you're saying leave it in, which allows for the conversation about the circumstances surrounding some of the days.
Yep.
And
that makes sense to me, but I do have a question on the earlier part in paragraph 5.
Sure.
on the subject, kind of in the middle on the second page there, five, when we say a detailed breakdown of each major event day for rules, do we have to be more precise with what a detailed breakdown is, or is that okay?
I don't think we received any comments from about those med days and how they would be, what the breakdown would look like. I think it could be pretty high level and generic initially, and then we can further dig into any things that, you know, may be of concern in those annual reports.
Okay.
That's kind of how, you know, in that NSP example, that's how those worked. I mean, we got a kind of a higher level, okay, here's what our med days were for last year, and then we kind of dug into a few of them. Well, what were each of them caused by?
And I guess it doesn't specifically state med days in there, but the comments were requesting that we add in that med days would not be considered, I believe is what the comments were requesting.
Would not be considered, like med days would be excluded from anything that was a med day would, the company would not have a potential penalty for, I think was the requester.
Yeah.
That was the net effect of the request.
And that takes care of everything that was addressed in the testimony that was given and the comments provided. So if there's anything else you guys wanted to discuss or look at, we could do that now.
One other thing, Brian, I don't think you mentioned that, but we, the initial draft said these statistics will be compiled for each public utility for its North Dakota distribution system, for each single community, and for each important division of a community. And we're taking that all the way back to just the North Dakota distribution system. Both the testimony during the hearing and the comments said it would be a large amount of work to separate it down to all of those, the single communities and the important divisions of communities. Already, if we ever want to get that information, they're required to without these new rules. What was originally paragraph one of this rule specifies they have to, or was it two? Sorry, it was originally paragraph two, specifies they have to track that information or be able to report that information if required. So
when we can take that out, but if we're getting complaints from the same town over and over and over, and so we can just see there's a problem there, they've got that information.
Yep.
We can request it.
Right.
Did we have the ability to essentially do this prior? Well, let me ask it this way, because one thing I'm trying to wrap my head around when I look at this and then I go back and read, we've always had the ability to fine a utility if they weren't meeting reliability standards. Does this just detail it, go deeper into the detail side of it? Or then the question is, what can we do now that we weren't able to do before?
Probably could do it before. This probably clarifies it a little bit more rather than having to generally go through a tariff or something like that to find a way to find them. This is just very clear that if reliability standards aren't met, that we are able to take action, assess disallowances or fines, or create a penalty or provide a penalty. There probably was some avenue that we could go down prior to this, but like I said, I think this is clarifies it and really sets it out there that we are able to.
I think one of the big things is that, yeah, we could have, but did the citizens out there know that we were, you know, consistently checking into it? And so just having a filing date and doing it annually, I think assures that that we're doing our job of making sure that they're doing their jobs.
I think that's stated very well.
There wasn't a previous filing date.
No. I don't believe so.
Not for these. I mean, there's other, there's normal annual reports.
Right.
And that was actually a change.
Right.
And didn't the legislature, in the law that was passed, say that we were to promulgate rules?
Yes. Yep.
So this is in response to that as well.
It was an interesting set of events in February, and I think what triggered a lot of this, which was actually, frankly, something entirely different. But it is what it is. I don't think the legislature, I think good intentions, but I don't think they understood what caused the rolling blackouts. And then they look, you know, they're getting calls from actually from co-ops, which we don't even regulate. And we wound up doing this. But, interesting sequence of events, to say the least.
Yeah. Yeah, it almost could be characterized as a solution looking for a problem.
I don't know. I see it a little differently because we do have great reliability performance in our utilities. But we can't kind of ignore the fact that there's a major transformation occurring in the grid that's going to take years to happen, and this just puts us and utilities and everybody, I mean, they're focused on it, but this just focuses all to keep our eye on that on a regular basis. You know, once a year we get these specific reports, and just another layer that's baked in to reinforce the need to stay focused on reliability during this transformation. And I think that, you know, the February event was caused by some very specific things, but it was a harbinger of, like, here's what's potentially coming when you're relying this heavily on gas as your main dispatchable resource before that industry is fully up to speed and the infrastructure and regulations to make that, you know, happen reliably. So I think it's a good step.
I think also there's this, you know, yes, here the blackouts that were suffered in North Dakota were co-ops, but a lot of that was because the cold front settled and stayed where it did instead of moving a few hundred miles further east. Had it moved a few hundred miles further east, I'm not sure that MISO would have fared any better than SPP did. And then it would have been IOUs, because IOUs and SPP suffered the same thing.
Sure.
And so I guess the sense that I got from the legislature, and I would tend to agree with this, this is something that encourages the utilities, whether they're co-ops or investor-owned, as members of whichever regional transmission organization, to be doing their best as members there to make sure that the RTO keeps good resource adequacy plans.
I think it's going to be interesting. I would state this. You know, one of the primary roles of the commission has always been to ensure reliability. That's always been embedded in the mission, if you will, statement of what we do. I think what's going to be interesting is crossing that line between, okay, you didn't upgrade your lines or your transformers, that type of thing. Okay, you're negligent in being reliable. Versus looking at the generating side of it, which this does not differentiate between the two. And yet, the commissions, including ours, hold the keys to the castle on what the generation mix is going to look like. Utilities just don't go and build them without approval. That they're going to get recovery on it, they're just not out there saying, well, we're going to. And when we deny, which we have, resources that may have prevented them from having a generating challenge, issue, deficiency at that particular time, they're going to come back to us and say, well, but if we had that gas peaker that you said no to, we would have been okay. So I think it'll be really interesting, and yeah, more so for future commissions, frankly, because I think this
this is ongoing, but it's only going to become more pronounced. That part I do agree with, but we've said no to resources, and they may come back and make a very solid case that if we would have had that, we would have been able to deliver the electrons as necessary at the time. So it's going to be interesting. Let's see where it goes.
Okay, so do you have what you need, Brian, to go with?
I think so. I guess the only thing I would ask for would be in paragraph 4, are you guys okay with that language remaining as is?
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll drop paragraph 7, and we've changed the date to May 1st for reporting. And
did on the penalty, did I miss something in the three utility filings? I didn't see them mention the penalties. I saw the utility shareholders. Carly mentioned it. So I'm assuming that speaks
was
for all of them, but the other ones didn't specifically call that out?
No, they did not.
Okay.
And I understand the concern. With the February event, the med days that could be caused by something like that, I know their concern would be that that's not held against them. I don't think that something that's outside of their control, would be something that we would focus on, but I understand the concern for that, and I think the way the language is right now gives us a very open approach to taking into account the entire picture when we're looking at what we're going to do and whether or not that's a route we need to go down. So I believe I have everything I need then.
All right. Anything else from anybody? Pat, Victor, commissioners, you're good?
Do we need to have a final version and vote on it to submit it to the Attorney General?
I will finish the order draft and get that distributed to you guys for review, and you can get back to me if there's...
Do we have a special meeting we're contemplating for later today?
Yes.
Okay. Are you thinking you want to get it on that, or?
I think we have to vote on this, right?
It written as an order.
Yes.
Right.
Yep. Yeah, I will button that up and get it out, and if we can add it to that special meeting later, that would be fine with me, because the sooner we get it down there, the better.
Yeah, because our next regular meeting's in November, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. November's coming up fast.
It is.
When you said November 1st, I was thinking, oh, we got lots of time. We're early October. Wait a minute, it's October 21st.
Yep.
All right. I think that's it.
Okay.
I think our work session on 21-368 is concluded. Thanks, everyone.